a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app. It's time to talk about the Pack with Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Green Bay Packers on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
You tried to get cute.
I did try to get cute with it.
You tried to get cute with it, Mitch.
This is the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wirtz. Mason Crosby's here. And that music can only mean one thing. Andy Herman. Hi, Andy. How you doing?
What's up?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Good. By the way, it is high noon in
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City? Salt Lake City?
Mountain Time?
Probably. Mountain Time?
Probably.
All I know is Boulder and Denver and all the Colorado towns.
It's Santa Fe. Santa Fe is Mountain Time.
Aurora, Colorado?
Yeah, Aurora.
All right, I'll give Aurora, Colorado today.
Okay, nice.
Andy Herman joining us here from the Pack-A-Day podcast.
Hi, Andy.
Andy, you are on trial for giving an A-plus grade to Brandon Cisse's number 2 uniform.
Yeah,
I will allow you to plead your case right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. You know how Michigan honors players by giving their best players numbers of former players? So they actually this is a monument or an honor for who they expect to be the best special teams tackler in 2026.
There it is.
So because of Mason's epic ability as a special teams tackler through the years, the person who they expect to be that in the next season, they're going to give number 2 from now on. So there you go.
Oh, man, I love that. What a spin you just had there. Let's hope that he makes more tackles and better tackler than I am.
We cannot let Cisse force a fumble on Cordell Patterson. We just cannot let that happen.
Can't let that happen.
That would be tragic for the show's brand.
I know. That's all I have, guys. That's all I have.
Nice.
That gives me at least a little bit of football credibility. But, Andy, let's dive into the weeds a little bit here with this. from all a lot of vantage points, this was a very well-crafted draft weekend for this Packers team. Do you think some of that, though, I've been thinking a little bit, do you think some of that comes because they didn't have a first round draft pick? And it's our lens of how we see it, it's oh man, we got some good solid pieces, these guys, maybe some value at some of them, but we didn't have that first round pick. And or maybe that first round pick is still thinking we have Micah Parsons. So it's add Micah Parsons to this list of draft picks in a sense. And you're well, this is a great draft.
Yeah. Expectations are a jerk sometimes. If you have there are seasons where if the Packers would have been a 7 seed and maybe missed the playoffs for the first time, this is obviously a while back, but that's that could be a successful season. But when you're expected to be a Super Bowl contender, a 7 seed and a first round exit looks pretty crappy. When you don't have, or when you have a first round pick and you pick a player that maybe fans aren't a big fan of, the expectations that come along with that are high. And then you sort of lower those expectations when you draft a player and people are upset. I think sometimes when you don't have those expectations going in of they don't have a first round pick. I could tell even around Packers Nation, it didn't have the same buzz ahead of the draft of people being so excited for it and hyping themselves up. They didn't have a pick until 52, but then you could tell Friday came along and right on that Friday, you could tell people were getting excited a little bit more about the draft. And then I think what was really helpful, again, not having those expectations, but I think this was one of the ones where Goody just really stuck to needs. Everybody had talked about for all the time leading up to the draft, boy, it'd be nice if they could get a corner, a nose tackle, an edge rusher, some offensive line depth. And they literally went right down the line and they grabbed the corner. They grabbed another one later, defensive tackle in with their second pick. Then they go and get the edge rusher and then the offensive lineman right after that. So I think sticking to the positions of need, getting players where there wasn't a crazy who the heck is that guy? They took him 100 spots too early. What was going on? I think you add all those things up and I think it was a very satisfying draft for Packers fans.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing one of the more exciting players out of this draft for this Packers squad, people are high on this Damani Jackson, as a corner, late guy, great touted high school player, maybe just didn't do everything that was expected in college, but has all the tangibles. And the hope is, okay, we can tap into that and get him and a special teams guy. Like, the hope whenever you bring a guy like that in that can run and does is physical, then they do go and help that special team. So who in this draft are you most excited about? Like, is there, like, which one of these players kind of gets your juices flowing?
Yeah, let's go. Let's just talk Damani Jackson for a second, because I do think this is the exact type of player that you're looking for in the sixth round. And usually these players, they're going to have to make it first on special teams. They're not going to be handed any job. They're not going to be given a starting cornerback role. So you better be able to help out on special teams. And the fact that he has that going for him is not only going to help him make the team, but probably be active on game days. You get active on game days and all of a sudden the corner goes down, you get your opportunity. And if you can make the most of it, that's where you get some of these sixth round picks that end up being pretty darn good players for you. Not to mention, he was a, you know, all everything player coming out of high school, one of the very, very top recruits coming out of high school. Didn't get targeted much last year, only 21 times. He only allowed 135 yards in total in yardage this past season. Super athletic freak, you know, was a track guy coming out or coming up, and again, can run super fast. He's a very willing tackler, takes some bad angles from time to time. Again, this is the exact type of guy and a fit very much for Jonathan Gannon's defense, and a very Packers-y type draft pick with the high-end athletic traits as well. So kind of everything that you're looking for at this point in the draft. And I'd have to say, you know, for a player that I really liked, I know, you know, Danai Dennis-Sutton is somebody that a lot of people have talked about. This is an interesting sort of journey for me, because people were talking about him in the second round and I'm like, oh no. I'm not okay with that. And then people are like, well, what about the third round? I'm like, I think I'm okay with Danai Dennis-Sutton in the third. That's a pretty good value there. But then you get him in the fourth, and now I'm doing cartwheels, because that is a wonderful player to get in the fourth. It's such an interesting player, because you watch his tape and I don't think it matches the athletic profile. I don't think it's super flat. There's a couple of plays here and there that make you go, holy crap. But if you look at just the down to down, it doesn't always feel like he's quite living up to maybe the expectations of the high end profile that's there. But then you get to the fourth round and you take a guy that is a complete athletic freak who is playing in the Big Ten, who was fantastic in his entire career at productivity, getting a ton of pressure. He had over, I think it was like 125 pressures. He had a bunch of sacks in college, and I think 8.5 the last couple seasons. If you get a guy like that, that's got no off-field red flags, no injury issues, played in the Big Ten, super productive with an insane athletic profile, that's 6'6 and has insane arms. Like, that's a late first, early second round profile. So I don't care if I'm like super enthralled when I'm watching the tape. If you get that type of player in day three, I mean, sign me up for that every single time. And, you know, Justice Mosqueda points out too, who does a fantastic job of like charting these edge rushers over the years. Like, this type of profile for a edge rusher hits like almost every time. It is a extremely high success rate for this type of player. So you have to love that again in round four.
Mason, how excited did you just get?
I'm like, juiced. Every time Andy talks about does his little scouting report, I get psyched up for, I'm ready for the season. Well, let's just get him out on the field right
especially
now.
Especially when it's the good kind. It's not like, oh, this guy was slated as a fourth rounder and the Packers picked him in the second round. That's like, right. What are we doing? But when it's the opposite, exactly. It's like, oh, baby, maybe they got something here.
Well, I think that's why this draft hits like everybody the right way, because it's like, you got that guy in the fourth round. Like, you're feeling... they just kind of checked all the boxes, and so nobody can look at this and just like throw holes and questions all over the place. Maybe, I guess, you know, and Tommy's a little disgusted that they traded picks to go and, you know, get the kicker. So, you know, and we'll get to that. But I do think that they kind of just address needs and, you know, put in some good pieces. And I think I was saying they were releasing some guys as they were trying, because they have a pretty full roster, so they had to kind of make some moves to make way for these new additions.
So, Mace, I don't know if I'm allowed to hijack the show, but I'm going to try for a moment. I have no idea how to scout a kicker, so I'm going to ask you. Like, what did you watch? Yeah, other than Brian Gutekunst,
apparently Goody. Yeah, like that was interesting. So I wonder. I don't know who in that building is scouting is like in charge of scouting the kickers.
I'm sure it's the special teams coordinator. Because, I mean, it would be basically Bisaccia. He was the one who basically chose Anders Carlson. Yeah. I don't think even, like, Goody wants to get his hands dirty and, like, the kid. I think they just completely – I don't think any coach has as much say. I mean, they obviously don't get a kicker, punter, long snapper, draft pick very often. But if you're going to take one, I don't think any coach gets as much say as the special teams coordinator in those situations.
Yeah, but I'm also like – is he in that room saying, like, hey, we got to get this guy? And Goody's like, all right, we'll trade two picks to go get him. Like, I feel like that's like kind of a, you know, yeah, in a sense, a reach. But it's also, he was the number one graded kicker in this draft. Like, he's the best kicker in this draft. He hadn't gone drafted. If you don't think you're going to add value in that seventh round or in, like, in that area, why go and just get somebody that you're going to have to probably, you know, maybe release or figure something out with? Like, get a guy that can go and compete right now and maybe you know, bolster that position for a long time to come here.
I would also add on top of that, I'd be willing to bet, I think if they kept those two seventh round picks, first of all, I think their top choice would have been, if the kicker fell, if Smack falls, that's going to be their choice. If he's not, I would be willing to bet you the two picks that they make there are probably a couple of the guys that they signed in undrafted free agency and just got started there, because there were a couple of those guys that I think they actually legitimately really liked. And I just think they draft them there to make sure that they can get them. I think it cost them nothing, because I think they got the same guys they would have got in undrafted free agency anyway. So they move the two seventh round picks. They get the kicker for sure. I don't, in that situation, in a draft like this, I really don't think there's a cost to that.
And we're trying to get him on the show here at some point this week, so we'll see if that works out. But, you know, the concern always is SEC, you know, and, you know, everyone's going to compare this draft to the Anders Carlson one. But, I mean, this kid's productivity speaks for itself. I mean, he had a really good career there at Florida. You know, hits a great ball. Like, when I watch him, it's like he has all the skill set to go and get the job done. He, like, Carlson kind of had that weird, he was a little more straight on vertical, like, it, you know, a lot of movement with his ball. Like, this Smack doesn't look to have any of that. So, and time will only tell, but, you know, you come to Green Bay, and I know he said, he was like, I grew up in Maryland. Like, I'm used to, I'm like, I do want to tell him Maryland's not Green Bay.
That's not the same.
So that is not the same, but at least the mindset's there. Like, hey, you know, I'm gonna adapt and deal with whatever's coming, and that's what you have to do whenever you're in that position, especially in Green Bay.
The other thing too is, so Mason, you can, you know, speak to this better than anybody. Mason, how many years did you play for the Packers in total?
16.
Okay, 16 years. How many people survived you from the time that you came to Green Bay to the time that you ended your career in Green Bay? How many people in that organization were still there by the time that you were drafted, by the time that you were in? If this kid, you know, hits, he could survive Goody, he could survive Matt LaFleur, he could survive, like, if he's a 15, 16 year kicker for Green Bay, it could be like, I mean, he could survive, you know, the president and CEO. It might be like some random scout or something and him that are the only ones that are still there.
The equipment guys were pretty much the same. The equipment and training staff were the only ones that were there before and were there whenever I left. Yes.
So you can legitimately get a 15, 16 year player at that point in the draft. You can't say that about any other position, you know, potentially. So to spend a late sixth round pick, obviously you have to hit on it. It's not that rare. It could be another Anders Carlson or a Brett Conway. Those did not work out as well. But if you hit on another Mason Crosby, sure, you get a 14, 15, 16 year kicker. And like I said, he might survive almost everyone that's in the organization right now.
Well, I think he's coming into a really good, like, a good situation, right? Where it's a tough situation, but it's good for his development to prove that he's ready to be in that role. Because you have Brandon McManus, who you've given $1 million already in a signing bonus. So they have some skin in the game, and there'll be some dead money if they ended up moving on from him. So they have to really be and do their due diligence there. And Lucas Haversick, I don't know. Did they really, like, he's still on the roster, right?
So, he's still there. I have a feeling that might not be for long, but we'll see.
I wouldn't
be
surprised if he didn't make it through this time, just to kind of continue that, like, that pushing and that competition within the building.
If you're Lucas Haversick, though, I think you, him and his agent have to
be
like,
asking
all right,
to get, yeah, to move
you,
on.
You have no chance. You're not. If Lucas Haversick makes this team over the guy they gave $1 million roster bonus to and a guy they traded up two picks to get in the sixth round, I think that would be one of the biggest upsets in the history of roster management. So if I'm his agent, I'm probably saying today, all right, guys, the writing's on the wall. Let's see if we can find Lucas another home to go compete somewhere else.
That's a good point. Yeah. But I just think he gets to go and compete with a veteran that, yeah, you know, is fighting for his, you know, his job as well, with what happened last year and proving that he can bounce back and he's, you know, can stay healthy and do all of those things. So Packers have to feel, and like fans, we have to feel pretty good that this kicking position should be better this year than it was last year. Like there is going to be a positive because these guys are going to compete and the best is going to come out on top and have their shot to go and lead at that position. So I think that's a good place to come into. And I know I've benefited from that coming in and like having to compete like every day as a sixth round draft pick with a guy that had been there and they weren't sure if they were fully, you know, going to move on from him. I think those things are beneficial in that position for sure.
Is that Dave Rayner? Who was that?
Dave Rayner, yeah. Wow, look at you.
Sicko.
What a mind.
Love it. Love it.
Andy, we haven't talked a whole lot about McClellan, and I know that it felt like he was maybe one of the more polarizing, like Dominique Orange was still there. I know a lot of people were a big Citrus guy. Was he kind of your top choice in that market for defensive tackle at that spot for Green Bay? Or, you know, Goody had nothing but good things to say about him, saying how he feels the versatility plays very well into their defensive scheme that we have no idea what's going to be because Gannon won't talk to anyone. But I just wanted a little synopsis on defensive tackle there in the third round.
He literally just got a whole new defense and we still didn't like hear.
Right. I love like how everybody on Thursday and Friday was like, well, if they pick two defensive guys Friday, he's got to talk. Right?
How do you draft a corner and then like not have a press conference like in the second round with your defensive coordinator?
I was willing to give them like a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because they redid their media room and everything. I'm like, maybe they're just waiting to Goody talked in the backup room before that, you know, so you can do that. It is absolutely crazy. But neither
is there a chance he doesn't exist? Like, is he AI and the whole system's down right now?
Did he get set on fire starting in his gut and then it's just ablaze like
Jonathan Gannon? They're just like, oh, he's up in the box, but like they never show him at the games. What? Like he's just a computer system and a program out there.
Somebody has
picking
to
these defenses.
Somebody has to complete the entire Triforce before you're allowed to see Ganon. That's going to hit for like maybe one person out there. But for any Legend of Zelda players, you're welcome.
Legend of Zelda.
Going back to Chris McClellan. Yes. All right. So, a few days before the draft, I put together my most likely players to be picked by the Packers. And McClellan was on that list for me. And I kind of give a whole, you know, he could easily be the third round pick for the Packers. And he just had everything that they sort of look for. They love their versatile pieces. And Goody's talked about on numerous occasions, yeah, we don't like just a run stuffing player. We like somebody that can do a little bit of everything. And that's Chris McClellan. So he very much, you know, was a Packers-y type pick when you looked at him. The one thing else, I would have taken Dominique Orange personally. Doesn't really matter. Nobody cares. But what I would say is I do think Dominique Orange is maybe not getting quite the credit that he probably deserves for also having some of that pass rush ability because he played at Iowa State and they asked him just to, you know, basically be that nose tackle and he didn't get much opportunity. When he did get some opportunity to actually rush the pass, I thought he looked pretty good at it. So I wouldn't have put him necessarily in that category. But what I would say here is this is not a Josh Myers, Creed Humphrey thing. This is not a Kevin King, TJ Watt thing. I think these two players are in the exact same neighborhood of players. Now, if you're watching the NFL draft, both Daniel Jeremiah and Mel Kiper had McClellan rated ahead of Dominique Orange. Again, somebody likes chocolate, somebody likes vanilla. They're both in the same category. It's a different flavor of player. I think overall Green Bay did a good job here. And I do think there's a good chance if Green Bay didn't move up, there were two defensive tackles that were taken, including Dominique Orange in that time frame before Green Bay picked or would have picked again. And I think they got their guy and the process too. Assuming Goody's telling the truth, which GMs sometimes lie, but if he's telling the truth and McClellan was literally like the guy that was left on their board of like a high grade at that point, then absolutely you don't care about the fifth round pick. And imagine I told you whoever your favorite two players were on the board at pick 52. Imagine you take one at 52 and then you get to a later in the third round and that other guy is there. Every single one of you would take a fifth round pick to move up to get that second guy that you liked at 52. That's exactly what Green Bay did. And I think overall that's totally fine process.
What is McClellan's RAS score? Is it pretty high?
It was a six. It was in a six range. It was not actually. This was the one
Tommy loves RAS. So
Tommy is RAS.
Have you ever seen a negative RAS score when you looked at Mason Crosby's? Back?
Jeez, actually, why you gotta come
Mason's
at me like
got
that?
A high. You can move him defensive end, linebacker. You can move that card all around. He looks. It's like a 9.9 everywhere you put
it. Exactly.
Do we talk about Jaden Reed?
Mm.
Should we ask? Yeah.
Let's ask about Jaden Reed.
What was your reaction to the Reed signing and the timing of it and the contract and the numbers? And what does it mean for Christian Watson and others?
It means nothing for Watson. He's still going to be a priority of theirs. It means nothing for Tucker Kraft. He's still going to 100.10% chance that he's going to be re-signed. I have no concerns about that. So those guys are still going to come back. As far as Reed goes, talked about this, a couple weeks beforehand of anything in that, $15, $16 million range on like a 3-year 48, 3-year 50. I was all in to sign that, today. Yeah. At the time I said, sign it today. That's awesome. I said, if he starts getting into that, like Wandale Robinson or even like the 3-year $60 million range, I'm like, that's where I'm like, all right, we probably have to start looking at maybe going in a different direction. But if you reach out to him and he's like 3 years, 50.5, and that works for both sides, I think that's a beautiful deal for Goody and Green Bay. I think if Jaden Reed would have had a really nice year this year, I think he probably would have got that 3 year, $60 million in free agency. But if he goes out and has a shoulder injury again, or tears his ACL or his Achilles, he might not get 3 years, $33 million. So I think it's a really smart, sort of insurance play for Jaden Reed, where he gets $50 million, life-changing money, maybe leaves a little bit on the table if he has a good year this year. But in the meantime, gets to stick with Green Bay. They give him the $50.5 million. He's in a good spot. They have a good rapport with Jordan and him. So I think this is a really smart deal for both sides, and absolutely love it for Green Bay.
And usually how they structure them, our good friend Andrew Brandt always says, I mean, it's more like a 2-year, $20 million deal, right? So
would be my expectation. So I haven't seen it yet actually come through with the actual numbers, but I mean, there's no way that you could restructure this where it looks worse in any way. Like even if it is a true, sort of 3-year, 50.5, that's still good value. But if it's even like a true 2-year deal where it even looks better, awesome. That's even better for the Packers.
So Andy, in a brief, like looking at just wrapping up the draft, was it a slam dunk A+ draft because of the personnel they drafted? Was it a slam dunk A+ draft because of the positional need that they drafted? Or is everyone looking at it just through a lens of, well, Micah Parsons was the first round pick, it was a slam dunk draft? Where do you lean in that direction when you talk about the 2026 NFL draft for the Packers?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is I would pump the brakes on just like feeling like Green Bay got a bunch of impact players that are going to help right now. I think everyone's looking at, DDS and saying like, oh, he's going to be able to, like Baron Sorrell was probably a similar or better prospect that they got in the fourth round last year. And, he had very minimal impact a year ago. Yeah. Cisse is going to have to come in and compete with the other corners on the roster. They got St. Juice. Nixon's probably still going to play. We'll see what happens with Carrington Valentine. He's going to have to compete for that spot. I think McClellan is going to be a rotational piece for sure, but whether that's as a, impactful rotational piece, a lot, has to go into that. So I would pump the brakes a little bit, but I think in a draft that was considered a below average draft and not having a first round pick, I think what Goody really did is said, hey, we think we can really, we're not going to go home run hitting in this draft. That's probably not what we can do, but we can hit a lot of singles and we can kind of keep this thing moving in the right direction. And he hit a lot of singles and maybe some doubles at positions that they really needed. So I think when you have
Brewers type of draft is what you're saying.
Brewers type of draft. Okay. a Brewers when they're going well type of draft. That's how I would say it. So yeah, I think he did a really good job of managing that and just getting good players at good values at the positions that they were actually drafting at. And I like the fact too of in a draft like this, you adding 10, 12 players in a draft where again, it's maybe not as strong. Instead, he said, you know what, we'll take 5-6 guys that we feel like are our types. When the DDS is sitting there, we're not going to move down. But when we want to go get a McClellan or go use 2 sevenths on a kicker to get that competition going, he was willing to do so. And I'm sure he would have liked 10, 11, 12 guys, but he looked at the value of the board and got guys that he thought could really fit. I think overall, just a really solid process for Goody.
Andy, do you think that Van Ness is going to get the fifth-year option put on him, or do you think?
I do. Okay. I think, to me, I kind of look at it as a little bit of irrelevant, mostly because I think he is, you probably just sign it just to make things easy, and he's mostly trending in the right direction. It's not an exorbitant contract for that type of position and that type of player. So I think they do. If they don't, I think if he even has a good year next year, you probably get him almost in the exact same range on like a 3 or 4 year deal around that $15 million, for like a 3 or 45. I would say if he doesn't get the 5th year option picked up, to me, maybe they just expedited it and just gave him like the 3-year $45 million deal now to get both sides on the same page. But to me, it's going to end up almost in the same place no matter what.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
Are you excited to see Tucker Kraft back on the field? I mean, just from like the few things, images, you know, from their April workouts. I mean, the dude goes full buzz, like just crazy person, and is already looking like, you know, ready to roll. So just give me whatever Tucker Kraft puts in his body, and you know, I wanna be a part of that.
It's just seriously, like just an absolute stud, a freak. Every really good tight end needs just a little bit of the right amount of psycho in him. And he just has it in spades. And it's all good psycho. There's no bad psycho. He's got the kip up. He's got the buzz cut. He's got the swole body. Now it's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I cannot wait to see Tucker Kraft playing again.
Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, I just don't
Mitch,
want it
do
to
you
end.
Have anything?
No, yeah, no, but I just don't want it to end. I don't want to say, Andy, you've been a great guest. Thanks so much for jumping on. We'll talk to you down the road. I just want to keep going.
Andy, do you have a Matt Flynn jersey like Tommy does?
I do not have a Matt Flynn jersey. No, that's pretty epic though.
I don't have a Matt Flynn.
Not, it's Jordan Love.
Andy, what's the jersey behind you? What's the jersey directly behind you that we can't see? Oh, Woodson. Okay, so nice. It is all secondary. So a Cissé number 2 would look there really good right there at some point.
Yes. I mean, the nice part about these three, Woodson, Williams, and Collins, is they were all in the same secondary at the same time. So like in a locker room scene, they were all in the same place. And then I got the number 37 up there for Sam Shields as well. I couldn't get the jersey, only 3 lockers, but wanted to get my guy Sam Shields up there too.
Thought for sure it was going to be Jarrett Bush at that time right there.
Hey, Jarrett Bush, top 3 favorite Packers play of all time. For somebody that was like constantly dragged by Packers fans, and you know, he was a special teams guy that was an emergency defensive back, and to come in the freaking Super Bowl and have one of the single biggest plays in Packers history, in my opinion, in that big interception in a Super Bowl for a guy that got dragged forever, all-time favorite Packers play for me.
I thought it was going to be Atari Bigby.
Oh, yeah. Ladarius Gunter got room behind you back there, Andy? Ladarius
Gunter, man.
Never know.
That guy had a minute.
Yeah.
All right. God. Andy Herman, thank you so much for jumping on today. This is absolutely great. You are the absolute best. Keep up the great work. Follow everything Andy does, Packaday Podcast, and we will talk to you soon.
Can't wait. Thanks, guys.
Later.
We didn't even talk wrestling, you guys. You happy? Like, we didn't even talk wrestling.
Yeah, so. I know. And he's not even in the... It's not like I could have thrown him back He dipped immediately.
He is like... Yeah. He has to record...
Mic drop.
He records 47 hours of content a day.
Yeah.
Insane.
He had an amazing draft coverage all the way through that. I was watching him. He had, I believe, on day 3, like 3,000 people watching him live. And I'm thinking... Who is watching 4th through 7th round draft coverage?
Not me.
Let alone 3,000 people all at once. Yeah. So, yeah, he's the absolute best. We know that.
No doubt. Yeah. We've got plenty to get to. We got to jump into this tech story. I don't know if we want to do it right now or if we want to kind of do a little more research on it.
You
but
got to know when to hold
it. Yeah, let's go into a little bit of college football.
Yeah, a little college football because we want to talk about
college sports.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Marquette did not have any players draft. Marquette, Wisconsin had the same number of players drafted in the NFL
like
draft.
UW Whitewater?
UW Whitewater, same number of players drafted in the NFL draft over this weekend as the Wisconsin Badgers. Man, McIntosh knew when to get out.
Yeah.
This is the Mason Crosby Show.